Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 115, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on another chilly, chilly afternoon here in the friendly city as we got a little burst of snow yesterday. Nothing major. Went for a couple hours. A little dusting at frigid temperatures nonetheless. Those slippery conditions out there. Hopefully you're safe. Hopefully you're warm as you head into the weekend. Get yourself ready for another action-packed weekend of, sports, I guess. We got all kinds of things happening here. It's the NFL playoffs are upon us, if you can believe that. College basketball in full swing. We got the Australian Open. We got golf back in its infancy here to start their season off. The second big event of the year coming your way here shortly. And, it's exciting times. Hockey in full swing. Soccer heating back up. Lots of Premier League action going on. We got the Champions League cranking back up on Tuesday of next week. And then we got the college football playoff on Monday night. So lots to talk about here on Better's Last Stand. Let's recap what we did last week here. And if you hear me yell or shout during this show, you're going to be hearing me reacting to some soccer matches that are going on right now, many of which we have action on. And if you want all the plays that we give out here, a lot of the times we're going to get plays that are either we don't have the information when we're recording the show, or it's just in between when we record shows. So you're figuring out things and processing situations. You don't even have certain matchups at some points, but we post all those at BLS_PRP. So to keep track of all the Better's Last Stand plays, you want to go to BLS_PRP on X. Easy to follow. It's all just texted in there in the boxes and posted, and you can, it's an easy read, it's an easy find, and you can follow along with all of our plays. So we didn't have a great week, but I would say in some sports we did okay, other sports not so good. We were up about 5.35 units, so just under 6 units. Not great by any means. College football, once again, 5-6. We just can't seem to get over the hump. 27-28 in our bowl game selections. Of course, last week we recapped our bowl game of the year with Miami and Iowa State. A nice, easy casher there on our 10-star game of the year. Wish they were all that easy. That one cruises over easily over at halftime. But not that great in everything else. We had Penn State. We had Texas. Didn't go our way. In both of those games, I would say, Coach and I talked about it on the radio show on Tuesday. That actually Monday and Tuesday, that I feel like maybe we were on the right side of both of those games. It just didn't work out. I thought Penn State really, really let the game. We'll talk more about it when we preview the championship game. But I think Penn State really let Notre Dame off the hook. Could have been up 21-0 in total control of that game. And once again, James Franklin, he was always the caveat when we said, you know, I like Penn State a lot. Gave them out as a future. Thought they'd make it to the semifinals, which they did. We did cash that ticket. Two pretty easy wins, but James Franklin, this in the back of my mind, I knew at some point he was probably going to cost us again. I keep thinking that maybe it wouldn't, but it's the same story, same thing all the time with him and Steve Sarkisian, another guy who I don't think is a very good head coach. Pretty good play caller, although that could be debated after last week, and again, we'll discuss that when we review those games and talk about the championship game, but Steve Sarkisian really, really let us down, too. So I wasn't expecting Texas to win that game, but I thought they had a shot of covering it, and we didn't get anything. So not our best effort there, but again, sometimes you're on the right side and you lose, and that's the way it goes. NFL wildcards, we were 6-5, but during the NFL, this last stretch of run here before Christmas, since 12-19 of 2024, we were 37-22, counting this week 6-5, 37-22 at 63%. That's exceptional. We would always take that. So NFL, we're still holding our own, and we'll look to bounce back a little bit this week with the divisional playoff games. College hoops, 3-5 last week. Still getting my beak wet, so to speak, on those. I feel like I have the right trends and the right principles on how to play these games, but some of them just not working. Maybe just the numbers aren't what I need them to be. I haven't had enough time to focus on the you know, comparing my numbers, the Ken Palm ratings and such like that. So I'll probably make an effort to be able to do that now that we're winding down, but I've been so hot in soccer. Again, not to pat myself on the back, but I've been so hot in soccer, I've been concentrating my efforts mostly towards that, and it's been very profitable. So hopefully we can keep that going. Hopefully you're piggybacking us with that. Australian Open kicked off on the weekend. I should have probably given these out, but they didn't have the draw ready for last week's show, so I didn't know who was playing. I had nothing there. So I did post all those on BLS underscore PRP. Another example of a situation where the data wasn't ready yet. There was no first round matchups. There was no brackets drawn. So I had no idea who was playing. So it was hard to give you a plays and a forecast anything. We didn't know who was maybe going to meet each other down the road. So got all that information on Sunday or on Saturday and got those plays out. 18-12 we've been so far in our individual matches. So not bad, not a terrible start, not a great start, but not a terrible start. We were 6-2 in the English Premier League yesterday, 38-18 run right now, 38-18-1 to be exact, 66% since the 19th of December. So we're up 34 units in EPL. That's really, really good. I don't know how I can continue that one, but we'll continue to try. That's for sure. FA Cup, 5-7 last week, not so good there. FA Cup's tough. The Carabao Cup is tough because you just don't know who's going to play, who's going to take the game serious. I try to forecast that. If you get it right, you're going to be on the right side. But EPL right now, I'm seeing the ball very, very well. So hopefully we can keep that going for you. NFL futures, again, we recapped these last week. We were 18-5 on the season, 78%. That is exceptional. We're very happy with that. 7-1 run to end the season. Australian Open, we have several live future tickets. I think we've only been eliminated with one, which is a disappointment because Karolina Mokova, who had a tough draw, I will say, she had a very difficult draw, but got beat a little bit before that I expected her to. I thought she would win quarter two, but Naomi Osaka, who maybe was playing possum a little bit, maybe just working on some things, tuning up, which is very, very common, especially for somebody coming back off injury. She shows up and plays back to her previous form and takes down Mokova pretty easily the other day. So that's our first and only sacrificial lamb so far in the Australian Open. We'll recap what we have future-wise there. And again, you can find all those BLS underscore PRP. College basketball, conference play in full swing. The SEC right now in college basketball is a gauntlet. These teams have ridiculous schedules. I don't know if football takes all the credit about being so good, but maybe their basketball league's better. Maybe it's a basketball conference. Right now, if you're going on the road in the SEC, wow, what a really, really tough schedule. Pretty much every city you go to is going to be a tough road game. Right now, you're looking at maybe 13 teams in from the SEC in the college basketball tournament this March. And, you know, I really can't argue with that. I'm not usually a proponent of getting 10 Big Ten teams in and 9 teams from the Big 12 and so on and so forth. But I think the SEC, they might be worthy this year. They might be worthy. I'm maybe not. But they might be worthy. The ACC's very poor right now outside of Duke. Duke, I hate to say this, but Duke is a serious contender this year. Usually I'm dismissive about Duke, but they are a serious contender. And we'll see. If Shire might... I know this is like a wrong thing to say for people, at least most people, but it's not a mainstream view, I'll say. He might be better than Coach K as far as just being able to get the most out of his team at this point of his career. Maybe not always, but something about it. He's pushing the right buttons here. And Duke just seems like a more equipped team to win in March more than they have been in several years. So that's a team we'll be keeping an eye on. I hate to say that because I'm not a Duke person, but they are pretty good. Other than them and the ACC, I don't see a whole lot. The SEC, as I said, really, really, really good. You got Auburn. They just suffered another injury, but still really good. You got Alabama. I mean, you name it in the SEC. Tennessee, the number one team in the country. I mean, this is a loaded league, so look out for the SEC. We'll continue to drill down a little bit more as we get closer to the last month of the year. You know, once February kicks in, it's serious college basketball time. So a few more weeks of football. Australian Open will be behind us, and we'll get focused on that. Again, 18-12 so far in the Australian Open in our single match plays. Recapping the futures that we do have, we have Daniil Medvedev and Novak Djokovic in exacta in the final. That's a 28-1 payout. It's not that good right now. You can get that at probably, I don't know, maybe around 20-1 or a little bit higher than that. So these were all pre-tournament bets that we made. So another exacta for the finals for the men, Medvedev versus Zverev, that's 50-1. I think that one's got a shot. Medvedev versus Alcaraz, 25-1. All those live. Matteo Berrettini, he plays today against Holger Rune. We have him to lose in the second round at plus 165. This is the second round. Hopefully Holger can get the job done. Berrettini, a small favorite in that match, which is a little bit surprising to me. Berrettini's a guy who was really, really good a few years ago. If you remember, he lost in, I think it was Wimbledon, in the final to Djokovic. Kind of got hurt and really struggled to get back, but he's coming back into form right now. But Holger Rune, a guy that we've been very high on. His progress has kind of plateaued a little bit, though. So He hasn't been on the trajectory that I thought he was going to be on, but he's still a really good player, and he's very young, and he's going to continue to get better. And I do believe at some point he'll probably have a shot of winning a major. So we need Berrettini to go out to Rune here this afternoon. Alex de Minaur, the Australian, we have him to lose in the third round, so he needs to win one more match, and then got him in a pretty tough matchup, plus 260. I know it's a lot of times people think you should play the Australians on their home soil, but the pressure is, there's a lot of pressure there for them. So I'm thinking de Minaur, his form has not been as good as it was last year. So we're going to try to take a shot that he can get bounced in the third round. Sasha Zverev, outside of Alcaraz and Sinner and Djokovic, this is the next best guy in tennis. And Medvedev, I got to put Medvedev in on hard courts. The other guys can play on all the surfaces. Medvedev on the hard courts. Zverev made it to some finals. He was sniffing around. He had a couple of chances to win Grand Slams. It just hasn't worked out for him yet. He had that terrible ankle injury on the clay courts a few years ago at the French Open, and he's finally battled himself back. Had a great season last year. Continues the sharp form this year. Zverev to reach the quarterfinals, minus 125. I think it's a great value there. He is playing as good as anybody. Medvedev to reach the quarters at just over even money, about minus 105 for that one. Sabalenka and Madison Keys, the exacta for the women, 33-1. Madison Keys didn't play very well in her first match, so that's a little bit of a concern. Sabalenka and Elena Rybakina, that's 11-1 exacta for the women's finals. That means both of them make it to the final. Rybakina starting to get her game back, sharp as can be. Sabalenka is going to be absolutely tough to beat in this situation, going for her third straight Australian Open win. Sabalenka and Swiatek at plus 650. That an exacta as well. I hate playing Iga Swiatek because her odds are always so underinflated. And when she's on a hard surface, I really don't like playing her because she's not the best player in the world on these surfaces. Sabalenka. And if you put her on clay and grass, then Swiatek is rightfully the favorite. But Sabalenka is better than her on hard courts. Sabalenka to reach the final, a plus 150. I like that one a lot. But going back to Swiatek, I didn't have a better option in quarter number four. So we went with her at minus 115 to win Q4. I think she might just win it by default. A lot of inexperienced players there in as far as Grand Slams go. So Swiatek has a very, very easy path to the semifinals, at least it looks like to me on paper. Again, Sabalenka to reach the finals, plus 150. I think she'll make it to the final. I don't see really any way she doesn't make it. Maybe she could get beat in the semis, possibly. Madison Keys to reach a round of 16, even money. I think that one, now that she got one under her belt, hopefully she can play a little bit better here today. Mira Andreeva, she's already through to the third round, so we need her to win one more time to get us to the round of 16 at minus 105. She struggled the other night, though, against the young Japanese girl. Played very strong. Andreeva, really, really talented. She's just turned 17 years old. She's a really, really, really good player. Her body hasn't even caught up to her yet. Like, she hasn't even matured physically, even close to being mature physically. So once she does that, look out. The sky is the limit for Mira Andreeva. Hopefully she can keep the mental game together because that's very tough on young kids. And it's seen a lot of people fall victim to extreme talent, but they can't handle it mentally, that success at a young age. Over to the men's side, Karin Khachanov to the round of 16 to plus 125, the big serving Russian. I think he's got a really good shot of making it through, so we'll ride him once again. And then our quarter plays here for the women were Sabalenka to win quarter one at minus 155, Mukova out at 4-1 in Q2, so that one's done. Rybakina in Q3 at plus 160, and Swiatek in Q4 for the women at minus 115. And the men, Khachanov, 28-1 to win quarter number one. 28-1. That's a pretty good number. I'm not sure he can do that because you gotta factor in Jannik Sinner is in quarter one. And Alex de Minaur, who we just talked about, Holger Rune, who are gonna play each other, so one of them will be gone. Hubert Hurkacz at 16-1. And then you got Khachanov, who actually is 18-1 currently, but we bet him back at 28-1 to win Q1. That's a little bit of a shot in the dark. Most likely Sinner wins Q1. But at 28-1, I thought it was worth the value. He has a shot for sure on a hard court. Medvedev to win Q2, plus 220. I feel very good about this one. Daniil Medvedev, one of the best hard court players in the world. Taylor Fritz from the United States, the next highest or lowest price right now, plus 275. Medvedev's far better player than Fritz. So I don't really fear Fritz a whole lot, but you never know. Medvedev's mental game could come apart on him pretty quickly. Over to Q3, Djokovic plus 180 to win Q3, and Novak will need a little bit of a break there, but he's got a coach now, and Andy Murray is going to be able to give him some tips on how to win when your body isn't better than all these young guys. So Djokovic still very, very good and is a mental force against younger players. And then Zverev in Q4 for the men at even money. Talked about how well he's played, and I expect that to continue for sure. Couple things that maybe are worth a peek here in the women's futures, in the quarters at least. Sabalenka is -230 to win Q1. Mary Andreeva is 5-1. I know we got her going pretty far. I don't think she can beat Sabalenka. She's played her before. It's going to be tough. I probably wouldn't go there. Coco Gauff, who I considered playing in Q2. I ended up going with Mukova because her number was better. Gauff playing very well. She's great on hard courts. Jessie Pegula is at 4-1. And Naomi Osaka, whose game's starting to come back. Can't she put together two or three matches in a row? That is the question. We'll see how she performs next time after upsetting Mukova. But Gauff at 115, I don't think it's a terrible price. I'm not sure Pegula can get out of that against Gauff or Osaka. I think she's going to have a hard time with that, as Crystal Palace, I believe, has made it 2-0 against Leicester. That one, very good for us here on Better's Last Stand. Q3, Elena Rybakina, we have the ticket on her right now. Jasmine Paolini, to me, is a grass court, clay court player. Really, really good. She had a phenomenal year. I'm not sure how good she is on hard courts, but she played very well in the first match, and I was impressed. And she could be a little dangerous at 4-1. Madison Keys at 5-1. We have a future on her as well. Keys, very good hardcourt player. Wasn't sharp at her first match, but I expect her to get a little bit better. And then Iga Swiatek in Q4. She's at -140 right now. I think we better at -110 or -105. She's going to be tough to beat. But I will say, the young American, Emma Navarro, she had a really good run in the U.S. Open last year. Hardcourt, she's very good. She battled the other night against Peyton Stearns, another American. And she did not have her best game, but man, she grinded it out. And when she needed to make shots, she made it. She won a three-setter against a pretty talented Stearns, who can play a little bit. She's athletic and can be pesky, so to speak. But Navarro really persevered. This girl continues to get better. And I would expect that she is going to be right up on Coco Gauff's heels as the best American player here before too long. Probably going to pass up Jessie Pegula. She's a lot younger and is already on a better trajectory. So Emma Navarro is one to watch out for. She's 7-1 to win Q4. So I wouldn't count her out. She still doesn't have a lot of big match experience, but she's continuing. She's making these deep runs in Grand Slams, and she's only going to get better. So keep an eye on Navarro at 7-1. I thought she might be worth a little bit of a play there. Those are our Aussie Open bets to this point. I'll continue to post. I posted some picks for today's matches. You can follow those, BLS_PRP. Again, these things come on about 7 o'clock our time here in the East, and you can watch them all evening long. When you get up to go to work, they're still finishing up. So you got plenty of options throughout the evening and the morning. Major League Baseball, here we go. Baseball, less than about 70, I think it's maybe less than 70 days until opening day. That's hard to believe. We'll be spring training here in a few weeks. Hard to imagine. It seems like it just ended. And I'm excited. I always get excited about baseball. Baseball is one of my, my long-term passions, as miserable as it can be. I do enjoy baseball on a daily basis. And I know a lot of people think it's boring, but something about it, it's just a ball game in the afternoon is a very enjoyable thing, as Wolves gets on the board against Newcastle, makes that 3-1, 2-1 Arsenal leading Spurs right now in the North London Derby. Could be some bad blood as this game goes on. Baseball, I look through the numbers here. I'm not going to go through every team yet because it's a little bit early. Still a lot of people out there in the free agent market. You get the Japanese sensations coming. He's probably going to go to the Dodgers. What a shock. But there were a few teams that I think are worth keeping an eye on in Major League Baseball. And you kind of just go off of momentum from last year, maybe a managerial move, perhaps a big name signing or something like that, or maybe some ramifications of other teams in their division losing players or so forth. So here's some teams that I think are worth a peek. I thought the Royals at 82.5 wins. I thought the Royals very interesting. I think the Royals are probably going to win 85 to 90 games. They were very good last year. They're a young team. I think they've got another year under their belt of maturity. And I expect Kansas City to be right in the mix to win the Central Division once again this year. And as Cleveland, held them off, but it was a great run last year between those two and Detroit. And they had Minnesota fading down the stretch, which we'll get to in a minute. But the Royals at 82.5, I think it's fair. I think the Royals win about 85 games here, and I also think worth a shot at 4-1 to win the American League Central Division. So take a peek at the Kansas City Royals. Going over to the National League Central, Cincinnati Reds. I said this a while ago. When Terry Francona was hired as manager, you have to figure that's going to win you between 7 and 10 more games alone just because of the way that he pushes buttons. Not even that it's on the field stuff, but just the way that he manages a clubhouse and the way that players respond to playing for Tito. You saw it in Cleveland. He raised them up. You saw it in Boston. He did something that nobody else could do, and he won a World Series there in the highest of pressure. This guy is a proven winner. He's a brilliant guy. He's a great, great person and a great manager. I think the sky's the limit for the Reds. They had a lot of young talent. Now they just need the guy to put it in place and get the most out of this young roster. 78.5 wins. That's not enough. I think the Reds win 80 games at a minimum. I would expect them to win more than that. So we're going with the Reds over 78.5. 6-1 to win the Central. That might be a little bit lofty, but I thought Cincinnati to make the playoffs at plus 240 made a lot of sense. So I'm on the Reds over 78.5 and going to take a shot with plus 240 for them to make the playoffs. San Francisco Giants. This is a team that's always in on these free agents. They can't seem to get them. They still put together a decent club. They have a pitcher's park. They got Verlander. Not that he's great by any means. He's getting as old as I am, but he's solid. He'll be all right in that pitcher's park. He's a good leader, and he's going to teach these guys how to win a little bit. San Francisco, a very, very proud baseball city. I like the Giants over 79.5. I think they'll be right around 80 wins in a pretty good division, but the Giants are always a team who play solid baseball. They're always in games. They don't get blown out a lot. They may not score a lot of runs, but they don't give up a lot of runs. Their bullpen's always pretty good. So I think the Giants at 79.5, I think they could make a return to the playoffs at plus 210, so we're going to take a shot with that. So I think the Giants win around 80, 82 games or so, and I think they make the playoffs at plus 210. National League East. I was high on the Nationals last year. They got their, if they got their win total, if they didn't, they might have missed by a game or two. Honestly, seems like it was just yesterday we gave these out for last year, but obviously my memory's not what it once was. Nationals over 69.5. This team is going in the right direction. They're a scrappy team. They're getting better. Their young talent is starting to come to fruition, although I'm a little bit worried about their pitchers that they have. I don't know what their pitching coach philosophy is, even in their entire system, because their pitchers haven't progressed as far as their fielders have. So, fielders and at the plate. But I like the Nats over. I think they win about 74 to 76 games. Nibbling around the wild card, 750 to make the playoffs. That's a pretty good number, actually. I could get interested in that. Not sure I'm going to push play on that one yet, but I think the Nationals are right there in the mix. They're going to obviously be better than the Marlins. And you have, you never know about the Mets, Braves, and Phillies. I mean, obviously, they should all be pretty good. But I think the Nationals hang around in that division and win over 70 games. Couple unders here, though. The Twins, 83.5. Again, I have never been a Twins guy since probably Kirby Puckett days when they were actually a really good team. But they're just a choking franchise. And you look, Minnesota is like a city of chokers, period, as you see what happened to the Vikings falling apart. Two eggs laid in their last two games, the two biggest games that they've had in some time. I'm not a Twins guy. I think the Twins win well under 80 games this year. I think they're down in third or fourth place at the very highest in the Central Division, because I already think Kansas City, Cleveland, and you got to figure the Tigers are continuing to get better. So there's three teams that are better than them right there. Obviously, the White Sox are dreadful. But I don't like the Twins at all. I'm going under 83.5 for the Twins. I think they'll struggle to win 75 games. And then in the National League Central, I said many times that, and even maybe on the radio show, and we don't get into a whole lot of player specifics on this show because everything's from a betting standpoint, but I never was really sure how good Kyle Tucker was. He just didn't impress me a whole lot. I think he's a solid player, but like no different than like Brian Reynolds to me. So I don't think Kyle Tucker being acquired by the Cubs moves the needle at all. And their win total has been inflated to 86.5. I was decently high on the Cubs last year, but as the season went on, I realized that their roster isn't quite as good as I expected it to be. I think the Cubs might win 80, but I don't think they're going to win 87 games. So I like the Cubs under 86.5. I think that's a very good bet. I think they maybe, if they're lucky, creep into the low 80s. But 86.5, 87 wins, that's not going to be easy. The Pirates, everybody expects them to be good. I don't, but the Brewers are pretty decent. The Reds, I think, are going to be very good, as I highlighted earlier. You got to figure the Cardinals will be okay as well. I don't know. I just don't think there's enough wins there in that division for the Cubs to win 87 games. I'm going under. So recapping these early season, early offseason plays, about 70 games or 70 days out from opening day. Royals over 82.5, Reds over 78.5 wins, Giants over 79.5, Nationals over 69.5, Twins under 83.5 and the Cubs under 86.5. Also plays on Cincinnati to win the division at 6-1. The Royals to win the division at 4-1. And the Reds to make the playoffs at +240. San Francisco Giants to make the playoffs at +210. So those are our early season baseball plays here. It feels good to give those out here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 115 here on the Watchdog Network from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a snowy Friday afternoon. Well, snowy, blustery, cold, whatever you want to say. It's winter here in the Ohio Valley. All right, let's get into golf. Golf back last week. Well, they gave out a couple of plays in golf, but they weren't bad, actually. We had a couple of top 10s, and we'll take it. Russell Henley and Keegan Bradley, both in the top 10 last week. And that's always a good thing. We did not get there with Emiliano Grillo. He did not make the cut. So that was no good, but not a bad start for golf. Nick Taylor gets the job done at 105-1. The Canadian cashes at the Sony Open this week. It's the American Express, a pretty good tournament here. La Quinta Country Club in La Quinta, California. The field not as good as I thought it would be. Xander Schauffele is out. The favorites include Justin Thomas at around 14-1, Patrick Cantlay at 16-1, and Sungjae Im at 14-1. Now, Sungjae Im was a guy that I had circled. He was top 25 all six times he's played in the American Express. 14-1, I don't think it's a terrible number on him. So we're going to go with Sungjae Im. I don't love it. He was a guy that last year that I could never figure out. So proceed with caution. When I had Sungjae Im last year, he usually missed the cut. When I didn't have him, he was in the top 10 every time. So I couldn't really figure out his form last year. But I'm going to try a little bit harder this year to figure it out. So we'll go with Sungjae at 14-1. I recommend doing it like this. And when I post these plays, just to clarify how I usually will bet it. So if you take a half a unit, so say your unit is $100, whatever you want to do, just make it whatever you want to do. If your unit's $100, if I was going to play Sungjae Im, I would play either 25 on him to win and then say 25 on him to finish in the top 10 and then 50 on him to finish in the top 20. That's how you would break it down. So if you see when I put it on BLS underscore PRP on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, if you see I put win T10, T20, then that would break that. That means I'm breaking up a unit into three parts. Now you could do it too. You could do win T5, T10, T20, or if you want to go a little bit further, you could go T10, T20, T30, and then you could break it up into 25 apiece. That's however your value is. If your unit price is $25, then you just break it down into $5 or $10 or however you want to do it. But that's how I give those out. Obviously, the win is the better price, so you don't have to invest as much, whereas the top 10s, top 20s, your price is reduced a little bit, but it's a little bit easier to get home with a winner. So that's how you do it for the golf anyway. At least that's how I recommend it. You can do it however you want, but that's how I play golf. When I play it, it's a portion of a unit on the win, a portion on a top 10, a portion on a top 20 or top 30. Like when you get into the majors, you can get some very good fields and some very good prices on top 30s and 40s. This one, not so much because the field isn't spectacular. But Sungjae Im will play him across the board there. Also interested in Eric Cole. He was fifth last week, playing pretty decent, 45-1 on him. Ben Griffin at 50-1, I thought was worth a play. And then Andrew Putnam, 125-1. He's a little bit of a long bomber, but I think he makes a little bit of sense, at least from the top 20 standpoint. And you don't have to play these guys to win if you don't want to play them to win. Honestly, you could put $2 on Andrew Putnam at 125-1. Still going to win you back a little bit of cash. So however you want to do it, bet within your means, bet within your comfort zone. Don't make yourself stressed out. That is for sure. You can break these down into various different decisions on how you're going to break up your units. But very part, managing your bankroll is a very important part of sports betting. And then a couple other guys that I really like this week, I think Adam Hadwin. He was sixth last year in this tournament at the Amex and 18th the year before. He's 70-1. I think Adam Hadwin makes a little bit of sense here. I think he can contend. And Christian Bezuidenhout, big number on him, 80-1. He's been really, really good. He was second here last year. He was 11th in 2023. I think he could get his form back. He likes this course, obviously, and at a big price. So I think it's worth taking a shot. So Bezuidenhout at 80-1, Hadwin at 70-1, Andrew Putnam at 124-1, Ben Griffin at 50-1, Eric Cole at 45-1, and Sungjae Im, who is one of the favorites, I will say. He's at 14-1. Justin Thomas, I don't know what his game's like. Tony Finau, 22-1, don't know. I don't know. I don't want to play favorites early. Will Zalatoris is interesting to me as he continues to come back from injury. Really, really good player. Got to get him back into his form. He's 45-1. Don't know if he's ready yet. Sam Burns, 18-1. There's a lot of guys here. It's early in the season, so I don't have a great feel for this yet, but we shall see. Good to have golf back, and that is the American Express from La Quinta. Switch it over to hockey right now here as we roll on. Bettors Last Dance, show number 115 from the Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling on a beautiful, if you like winter. It's a beautiful, blustery day here on the Watchdog. Blustery, cold, but that's okay. Stay indoors, watch games, and enjoy the company of friends and family. Hockey, here we go. First period numbers here. These trends continue to be pretty strong. Although I said last week, the first periods, maybe not quite as good as the second and third periods. The value seems to be, for me right now, on the third period. So keep an eye out for that. First period overs, though, on the season, 28-18 for the Buffalo Sabres. They're 8-2 in their last 10 to the over. The Washington Capitals, 28-15 on the year, 6-4 to the over in their last 10. And the Chicago Blackhawks, 26-17 on the season, first period overs. But get this one, they're on a run right now of 10-0 over 1.5 in the first period. So the Chicago Blackhawks scoring and giving up some goals in the first period. Second period overs, Toronto Maple Leafs, 31-13, 8-2 run in their last 10 to the second period over. Columbus Blue Jackets, 30-13, 6-4 to the over in their last 10. And the Edmonton Oilers, 28-14 on the season, 9-1 run in second period overs for the Edmonton Oilers. Third period overs, these numbers, exceptional. 35-8 for the Anaheim Ducks. They're on a run right now of 8-2 over 1.5 in the third period. Columbus Blue Jackets, 34-9, 7-3 run for them in their last 10. And the Vegas Golden Knights, 33-10 in an 8-2 run to the over in the third periods. And I talked about it last week, but I'll remind it for our radio audience, maybe people that didn't catch the first portion of the show last week, that you don't always have to play these straight. So you could say, okay, these teams have pretty good first period numbers, but the first period's juice really high. You could play highest scoring periods, and you could say, okay, I got two teams that score a ton in the first period, not so much in the second or third, playing the first period to be the highest scoring period. You get great plus prices on those every single night. Same thing applies for the third period. You can find very good prices on the third period. Third period, you always have to keep in mind, you got empty netters in play in the third period. So that's a definite boost, but you can still get around plus $2 just about every night on most games in a third period. So get creative. If you see the things juiced to the moon, minus 170, minus 180 on over 1.5 in the first, second, and third periods, play. Get a little creative. Play the period to be the highest scoring period of your choice, of your designation. But go through, follow Chris Auto, PSU Auto on X, and you can get the numbers, and you can see each and every night the matchups and how teams are trending and how they have been on the season, first period, second period, third period, and goals in the first 10 minutes, which I didn't do, but I'll add that back in there next week. Maybe we'll talk about goals in the first 10 minutes, which is a very popular market as well. Other hockey action, ECHL, the Nailers in first place in the North Division still there, 52 points. They are at Worcester this weekend. They played Worcester last week, and it was a split. So Nailers coming off another strong week, though. They got, I believe, 5 points last week. They had an OT loss, 2 wins, and a loss. So playing very good hockey right now. In hockey news today, which this affects the Nailers quite a bit, just before we started to record here, Tristan Jarry has been basically waived by the Penguins. He's put on waivers. He'll either go to the AHL or he will be claimed by another team. This could impact, and it will impact, the Nailers in some capacity, as I believe Joel Blomqvist will be called up to the big club, the Penguins, which means that you're probably going to see Sergei Mureshov going up to the AHL Wilkes-Barre Penguins, or I guess potentially Taylor Gauthier, depending on if they want Mureshov to continue to play just about every game. One of those guys is going up to Wilkes-Barre, or maybe they'll platoon, maybe they'll go back and forth. And then I would imagine that the Nailers would get Jackson Caster back, who was a solid backup and at some point a starter for them last year and at the beginning of this season. So a little bit of a blow to the Nailers there is having two number ones. Now they're going to have to go back to having a one and then a kind of a 1B, which Caster can be. But yeah, nice to see Tristan Jarry. We talked about it on the show however many years ago, maybe 2 years ago when he signed that contract. I think it was 2 years ago. Sam and I both said it was a major mistake. You could go back and find that. I like to pull that tape, actually. It was a massive mistake by the Penguins. Kyle Dubas gets to town and makes a massive blunder, but he's finally cut his losses here and got Jarry out of there. Jarry, again, dreadful last night. Gives up a goal on the second shot of the game instead of the first. I think it's about the eighth or ninth time that's happened this year. It's just inexcusable for a professional to be that bad and be making the money that he makes. So, Tristan Jarry, best of luck to you. Glad you're not our problem anymore. All right, resetting the show here. It is Bettor's Last Stand show number 115 coming to you from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a Friday, getting you ready for your weekend. Lots going on here on the Watchdog. If you haven't been tuning in over the last couple of weeks, we've, since the holidays, we've settled back into our regular format here where we're having the shows on the right days and getting you ready for high school basketball. We have basketball coming your way tonight. It'll be Logan and Wheeling Central and boys action. 7:30 tip-off. It'll be Soup and Coach on the call at, on your watchdognetwork.com, of course, where you can find all these broadcasts. WKKX and WVOI will also carry that game. And then tomorrow, it's going to be a doubleheader action. It's going to be the Buchanan Upshur. Oh, boy, what is their nickname? Buccaneers? I don't, that sounds too stupid. Anyway, Buck Up. We'll just go with that. Buchanan Upshur at Wheeling Park. Girls at 3 o'clock. Buchanan Upshur at Wheeling Park. Boys at 5 o'clock. I think they're going to stream these. Not certain, but we will clarify and have that posted on social media. So follow the Watchdog on social media as well as at the Pine Room Studios for the updated high school basketball schedule. We've done several games on the network this week on the watchdognetwork.com and across WKKX and WVLY. So stick with us for that, because obviously with the snow and the weather and the cancellations, the things move around a little bit. So very fluid. Follow us on social media, watchdognetwork.com, at the Watchdog WV, I think is the X follow on there. But you can just search it and you'll find it easily. And then at the Pine Room Studios, you can find all the updated schedules. And again, thanks to our Watchdog family for supporting these endeavors. If you didn't catch the stream of Wheeling Central and Lindsley from last week, that archive is on our YouTube page. You can check that out. The guys did a great job down at Wheeling Central on that one. And more of that to come here as we continue to nail things down and improve the streaming quality. And you can always hear it well. It's always a great, great sounding broadcast on watchdognetwork.com. So wherever you are, you can stream it. You can Bluetooth it to your car, wherever you're driving to. Feel free to do that. And again, thanks to Kayleen and Howard and Bob and Lola and everybody down here, Rocky, of course, for supporting our endeavor here with the Pine Room and the Watchdog to bring you these high school sports throughout the season. All right, it's Bettor's Last Stand show number 115 coming to you from the Watchdog Studios here on a Friday, getting you ready for high school basketball action tonight. Logan at Wheeling Central coming your way at 7:30. All right, recapping for the first portion of the show, we'll go back through it again. We were up just under 6 units last week. Not great. Not terrible. 5-6 in our college bowl games. 27-28 over on our bowl games for the season. Of course, our 10-star game of the year did cash with Miami and Iowa State. Wild card weekend in the NFL, we were 6-5, but we're on a 37-22, 63% run since just before Christmas. College hoops, 3-5, no good there. Australian Open, we're 18-12 to this point with several futures pending. Again, you can find all these picks at BLS_PRP. EPL, we were 6-2 yesterday. Not off to a bad start today. Overall on the English Premier League, 38-18-1 run, 66%, up 34 units since just before Christmas. So pretty good start. Decent in golf last week with Keegan Bradley and Russell Henley in the top 10. NFL futures, we recapped these last week. We were 18-5, 78% on the season. That's a strong run. All right, let's get into some industry news and notes here before we head into the football portion of the card here on Bettor's Last Stand show number 115 coming to you from the Watchdog Studios. All right, industry news. Boy, the Jonte Porter situation. This thing just gets weirder and weirder as Jonte Porter now has been this guy is, he's already been blackballed from basketball. And now I don't know if him and his associates are going to face prison time or whatever's going to happen or massive fines, but his text messages were revealed. This guy was texting at halftime about faking injuries and the things he was saying. He was going to pretend he was hurt. And like all the stuff that came out in that story has now been confirmed. And you actually read the messages. So anyway, one of his associates was arrested at the Las Vegas airport the other day. Said he was on his way to Columbia. Ironically, he says he was going down there for some dental work. So apparently we don't have dentists here in the United States. Strange place to go for dental work there in Colombia. And it was a one-way ticket. So one-way ticket to Colombia for dental work. And so I think this guy was trying to skip town for sure. Anyway, he has been detained. I believe he was released on bail, which is a concern. So apparently this guy had a lot of proxies, and this was a very, very, very complex heist here, so to speak, with Jonte Porter. These guys really did a stupid job about not keeping this quiet. But this is what regulated sports betting will do. You see this happening? Immediately it stopped. It sniffed out. Illegal sports betting, this isn't going to be found because people aren't going to be able to tell anybody. What are you going to do? You can't tell the authorities your illegal bookmaking operations being taken advantage of. So keep an eye out for more on Jonte Porter in the coming days. Books continue to get hammered on these college football playoff and the favorites in the NFL. Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Ohio State, Notre Dame. It was a mess. I mean, moneyline parlays were just shooting bullets in us last week. Bullet holes everywhere at the book. But nobody's going to shed a tear. That is for sure. Most bet parlay legs from the weekend. Bills money line, Eagles money line, Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown. Ooh, he went down late there. Ooh, that one probably stung. But I know it made a lot of people happy. Lions -9.5 versus the Redskins on Saturday. It's the largest spread in franchise history for the Lions in a playoff game. Pretty crazy. Lions, the biggest liability of any team at most sportsbooks across the country. Sharp money coming in on the Rams, +6.5. And also on the under here at some various places, including the Superbook in Las Vegas. So I'm on the Rams, too. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But I like the Rams. I think the Rams are a team that could be they're seasoned enough to handle the adverse and tough conditions in Philadelphia. The Bills have never been a home underdog in 18 playoff games. Right now, they opened a one-point favorite, 1.5-point favorite. Now the Ravens favored by one, which I agree with the line move. So we'll see that. See what that's like. Bills have never been a dog at home in the playoffs. Vikings, they're now 0-3 on the road as a favorite in the playoffs. 27-9 they lost on Monday to the Rams. A terrible performance. Just a horrible performance. Favorites 3-3 straight up and 4-1 the home teams were, which one team played at a neutral site, which was the Rams. Unders 5-1 in wild card weekend. Caesars takes a $5,000 wager on the Redskins to win the Super Bowl at 27-1 potential payout. $135,000. Wow, that's pretty good. Updated Super Bowl futures. Detroit right now, 2.5-1. Kansas City, 3.5-1. Philadelphia, +425. Baltimore, +450. Buffalo, +550. The Rams at 18-1. The Redskins at 30-1. And the Houston Texans at 50-1. College football playoffs, 10-0. The favorites are in this playoff. Boy, you talk about lackluster. TV ratings are showing it. Not good TV ratings. 9-1 ATS for the favorites. The only team that covered. Arizona State, we had them right here on Bettor's Last Stand. Final, the final game opened Ohio State -9.5. It was bet down to 8.5, then to 8. And, this is very interesting to me. You saw sharp money come in really, really early on a 9.5, which to me was weird because 9.5 is not a key number. And usually sharp guys probably wouldn't have reacted that quickly for a non-sharp number. So then I heard a couple people bring this up, and I kind of had the same thought, and then when I heard some other people were pretty smart talking about it, maybe this was the old head fake. Maybe this was the old come in on one side and then pound back the other. So if you're looking at trying to get Ohio State at a better number and you're pumping that money in quick to try to make people think that's the right side, oh, man, the sharp guys are on it, 9.5 is down to 8, down to maybe some 7.5s. If I could get that to 7, if I'm a sharp or 6.5, then I'm coming back in mammoth on Ohio State. Not saying that's what happened, but it's definitely worth discussing. So maybe they're trying to drive that number down a little bit and then come back in hard on Ohio State, which, you know, isn't a bad idea. I think Ohio State could be tough to beat here. Could it be a head fake? We don't know. We shall see, though. That is for sure. All right. Getting into the football portion of the card, what everybody likes to talk about here. Maybe the round football isn't what everybody likes to talk about, but we'll start with that. Premier League, it's been a busy week for the Premier League. We had some FA Cup matches, and then we have Premier League two times this week. So that makes it pretty tough on these teams. That's a lot of soccer in a short period of time. So teams really, really have to ration their lineups and protect their investments, especially teams that are in multiple competitions, which all of them start out being in, and then some of them are in Europe and some of the other places also with their domestic cups. So Premier League, we got it going on right now. We're on a really, really good run here with Premier League, as I recapped a couple of times throughout the show.
I keep saying it, and I'm happy to keep saying it because I don't know how long it can continue. 38-18 run right now, 66% here on our EPL run over the last few weeks since around Christmas time. Games on Saturday. Now, there's teams playing today. There's teams playing tomorrow. So this is a little bit tricky. I can only give out a couple of plays here. And again, BLS underscore PRP, I'll have plays on everything for Saturday and Sunday and Monday here in the Premier League. But a game that I can already confirm, two teams that played yesterday, Liverpool and Brentford. This game at Brentford. Brentford, incredible comeback to tie Manchester City yesterday. We had that one. They scored twice in the last 10 minutes. Wow, what a game. But they'll be hosting Liverpool here. Liverpool dropped points yesterday as well, and we had that the right side on that one as well, Nottingham Forest. I'm going to go with Brentford or draw here, plus 160. I think both teams will score a goal, so both teams to score BTTS, and I think the game goes over 3.5. I think there could be some fireworks. Very similar game, I think you'll see, to what they play with Manchester City. Maybe a 2-2 draw, something along those lines. And then on Sunday, Nottingham Forest, we just talked about them. They play Southampton. Southampton's a mess. They're really bad. They got a feel-good win in the FA Cup over the weekend, but they played a very inferior team. Well, back to the big leagues now for them. They're at Nottingham Forest. I think Forest will hammer them pretty good. So we'll go Forest -120, -1.25 on the Asian handicap, and we'll go over 2.5 goals in that match. Those are the only two I have data on right now, or the teams that aren't playing as we speak right now or tomorrow. Tomorrow as in Thursday, because this is Wednesday when I'm recording the show. So we will follow up with those. BLS underscore PRP is where you want to be. And then you got Champions League action returning on Tuesday. So I'll give you these plays. These, again, will be posted at BLS underscore PRP. We only have two match days left in the Champions League. It's getting down to crunch time. This is panic time for some of these teams. Aston Villa at Monaco. This is an interesting one. Villa's played a lot of soccer here in recent days. Monaco, winless in their last three. They have a small rest advantage in this game. They really need this game. They're in 16th position right now. Aston Villa in a very good spot right now. They're pretty safe. A draw here for them would be all right. I got a slight lean to Monaco, but nothing major here. Sturm Graz at Atalanta. Atalanta 13th in the table. Graz 29th. Atalanta, a little bit of a slump. They're winless in their last four. They got a massive game at Napoli tomorrow, which could be a problem for them. So I like under in this match. I think Sturm Graz will be looking for any points they could get. They're 5 points out of a advancement position. They're going to have to get some points. They need something here. But we're going to go under 3.5 here. Atalanta, as we've said, has been an under team this year, which is in previous years they've been an over team. So I think Atalanta will be worn out after this game against Napoli over the weekend. They're just going to come out, show up, try to win the game 1-0. Maybe Sturm Graz gets a goal, finishes 1-1. So we go under 3.5 in Atalanta and Sturm Graz. PSV Eindhoven at Red Star Belgrade. Red Star Belgrade, one of the toughest places to play in Europe. PSV needs this game badly. They are in 23rd position, which they're one clear of the final cutoff spot. They have Liverpool in their last match. That's going to be a really, really hard game. They're hanging on the edge right now. This is really, really tough. I think PSV plays desperate in this game, which could lead to goals. So I'm going to go over 3 in this match. A lot of times Red Star Belgrade will score at home. They're in 31st position. They need to try to win this match too. They have to basically win 2 to get into the knockout stage. They're going to be desperate. So I think that says goals, goals, goals. So we're going to go over 3 in PSV and Red Star Belgrade. Juventus at Club Brugge. Club Brugge unbeaten in their last 15. That's 15 straight they haven't got beat. They're very, very tough at home. Juventus plays AC Milan on Saturday. Tough, tough domestic matchup. Juventus in 14th place. Brugge in 19th. Both these teams could use points. I think Brugge or draw is a very good play here. Brugge finishes at Manchester City. Yes, Manchester City has not been very good lately. So maybe Brugge can get a point out of that game. But Brugge needs this game. Juventus needs maybe a game. But Juventus coming off a very tough domestic battle on the weekend against a rival. And maybe they don't bring their A game here to Brugge. So we'll go with Brugge or draw in this one. Barcelona-Benfica. This one, I don't really have a play here. Benfica finishes at Juventus. They've won 3 of the last, or they're 3-0 actually, the last 3 times they played Barcelona at home. Do with that what you want. They're plus 245. Barcelona -105 on the road. Barcelona's safe. They have a home game against Atalanta in their final match. Barcelona, no need for them to max out here. A draw would be fine for them. So no play for me there. Bayer Leverkusen at Atletico Madrid. I think both teams score in this matchup. Maybe even an over here of 2.5. BTTS the way to go. These two teams both safely into the knockout stage. But Atletico plays Salzburg in the final match, which won't be a problem. They've won 14 straight games, so they are on fire. At plus 160, maybe it's worth a shot to play them at home. Leverkusen, though, very, very good. They've won 11 straight, and they're unbeaten in 12. So you got two heavyweight titans matching up there. So I think both teams score. Look for like a 1-1 draw maybe in that one. Lille at Liverpool. Liverpool minus 330. Lille plus $9. Lille is unbeaten in their last, I got a bad note here. I think seven straight unbeaten. Wow. Pretty good run for them. They play Feyenoord in the last match. Maybe they can get points out of that. This is going to be a tough one. Liverpool probably wins this game by a goal and a half or more. So Liverpool and the Asian handicap, both teams to score is what we'll go with in that one. Stuttgart at Slovan Bratislava. Now, Slovan Bratislava scored some goals at home. They're plus money to score a goal at home against Stuttgart. Stuttgart 26th in the table. Bratislava almost dead last. I think they're second to last. So I'm going to go over one goal. All Bratislava needs to do is score one goal. So we'll go over a half for them. That's a plus price. So Slovan Bratislava to score one goal at a plus price. Borussia Dortmund at Bologna. These matches all Tuesday that I've been going over. By the way, Bologna in 33rd spot. Dortmund in the ninth position right now. Dortmund has struggled a little bit, though. They've only got one win in their last seven. They're minus 110 here on the road, plus $3 on Bologna. And Borussia Dortmund finishes at home against Shakhtar, a game that they probably should win. And Bologna has very few impressive performances at home. So I'm going with Borussia Dortmund here to get it back on around an even money price there. So we'll go with Dortmund on the road at Bologna. Wednesday matches in the Champions League here as we roll on. On Better's Last Stand, show number 115 on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for a wild sports weekend. Lots going on here, starting tonight with Wheeling Central and Logan. It'll be coming your way at 7:30 here on the Watchdog Network. Thursday or Wednesday's Champions League action, once again, it'll be Brest at Shakhtar Donetsk. Donetsk in 27th, Brest all up in 7th. Somehow they've hung on. They take on Real Madrid their next game, so they really need to try to cash in one more win here against Shakhtar. But Shakhtar, never an easy team, although they haven't been playing at home, so that could be a problem. They are at Dortmund in their last match. They're not out of this yet. Shakhtar needs the game badly, so if you're looking for a desperate team, Shakhtar at plus 150, maybe the way to go. I'm going to go with both teams to score here. I think both teams put their foot forward to try to score goals here, so with both teams to score in Brest and Shakhtar. Salzburg at Real Madrid. Madrid, a massive favorite here, over a $12 favorite. Salzburg on the other side, 27-1. For them right here. A draw would be around $12. Real Madrid, though, in a tough spot. They're 20th. They're only four clear of the knockout stage. I think they win this game, though. They have to win it. Lay a goal and a half if you have to. Goal 0.75. Probably not going to be a great price. I'm just saying they may win this game by two or three goals, but they just need to win the game, period. So I probably wouldn't even recommend a play in that one. Just Dynamo Zagreb at Arsenal. Arsenal a mess right now. Injuries, problems. They're barely hanging on here against Tottenham in the North London Derby as we speak right now. Dynamo Zagreb still alive. They occupy the final knockout stage spot. Arsenal well safe right now. I thought Dynamo Zagreb to score over a goal, to score over a half a goal, which means they need one goal to cash this at plus price. I think it's worth a look. I think Arsenal's been a little bit sloppy at the back, and I think Dynamo Zagreb has shown on the road that they've been able to score goals. So we're going to go with Zagreb to score a goal at Arsenal on Wednesday. Bayern Munich and Feyenoord. Nothing more to say about this one. Munich 10th, Feyenoord 18th. Probably both of them are going to get through. I think both teams content with a draw here, so we're going to go with both teams to score. I think this could finish around 1-1. Manchester City at PSG. This is the shocker of the entire Champions League season so far. You have two teams that would probably have been in the top three to win this thing with the odds, at least the top five, both of them. Manchester City in 22nd position, Paris Saint-Germain 25th position. This game at PSG, PSG unbeaten in 8. They're playing a little bit better right now. They finished with Stuttgart. That's good for them. But Manchester City, they blow it the other day against Brentford. They finish with Bruges, who's tricky. I would be very worried if I'm Manchester City right now. I'm going to go with PSG at home, plus 145. I think they can win this game. I think they're going to be desperate as City, and they're just a little bit better than City right now. So we'll go with PSG at home. Girona at AC Milan also on Wednesday. AC Milan minus 215. Girona plus $6. Going to go with AC Milan. They're unbeaten in 8. They got Juventus on Saturday. Could be a tough one. We're going to go with them. The blowout Girona minus 1.5 or minus 1.25 in the Asian handicap. Girona 0-3 on the road in the Champions League. They don't have much. They're in 30th position. AC Milan should be in good spot. If they get the win here, they're going to be in that. They want to get in up into that top eight for sure. Inter Milan and Sparta Prague. Inter Milan in sixth position. Sparta Prague 28th. Nothing really in this match interested me. BSC Young Boys at Celtic. Celtic, they need this game really, really badly. Their last match is at Aston Villa. That will not be easy. I think Celtic goes all out here. Young Boys has given up a ton of goals. So we're going to go over 3.5 here. We're going to go with Celtic minus 1.5 on the match line. So over 3.5 goals. And then Sporting Lisbon at RB Leipzig. I like this game over. The only thing that concerns me, as I always say, the Portuguese on the road, that always is a problem for me. I'm going to go over. I'm going to count that Sporting Lisbon can maybe score at least one goal. They take on Bologna in the final match of the Champions League campaign. They're in 17th. RB Leipzig, they've given up a ton of goals, and they're in 34th place and buried at the bottom. They have no chance. But I think goals in that matchup. If you missed any of those plays, BLS_PRP is where you can find them on Twitter or X, and we will keep you updated on those. All right, let's get into the games at hand here. In the NFL, we're down to the semifinals of the conferences right now. We gave you out Kansas City and Detroit to make it to the Super Bowl last week. Baltimore and Detroit, Kansas City and the Rams, and Baltimore and the Rams. I thought those were the most logical things that we could see from a future standpoint. And all those tickets still alive. Again, you can see all those NFL futures that we posted for the postseason on BLS_PRP. Saturday's games, Houston at Kansas City, 4:30 kickoff here. KC minus 8.5, the total 41.5 in this one. And I will say, I'm stunned of how many people are already saying Kansas City can lose this game. A couple of weeks ago, Houston was the worst team in the world. They're terrible. They scored 2 on Christmas. They're garbage. No one liked them last week, including me. But I didn't factor in enough about the fire and the uprooting of the LA Chargers and things like that. And that was an oversight for sure. I think Kansas City wins this game. I'm not sure they're going to cover, but they don't care about covering. I wouldn't play a minus 8.5, but I like the game under 41.5. I think there's no doubt Kansas City wins this game. I think you're foolish to think that the Texans are all of a sudden going to be a problem for Kansas City at Arrowhead. That's as simple as that. To me, it's just an underplay here in the game, and Kansas City will win the game on the money line. Washington at Detroit. Washington, a tremendous performance. Jaden Daniels, as good as it gets. Detroit minus 9.5 here, total 55.5. I think this is a close game. I think the Skins are going to battle. I think it's going to be right around between 7-10, maybe even 3-7. So I would lay it, or I would take the points with Washington. If it gets to 10, I'm definitely taking it. But I do think the Lions win the game. I think the Lions, in the end, will be better. They're a little bit more seasoned. I think they'll get the job done. Their offense is very, very good. But I do like this game under. I think Washington's strategy of controlling the clock last week against Tampa was really, really smart. It hurt our over. But this week, I like it under. I think 55.5, everybody's running to the window to bet this game over. I like it under. I think both teams will be a little more careful, if Dan Campbell's even careful. Can't capable of being careful, but I do think Washington plays very similar to what they did before, and they try to control the ball, and I think that will help us keep this game under 55.5. Sunday's games, here we go. It will be the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Rams. Philly minus 6, total 44. The Rams are a team, I said last week, I thought they were a team that could be a problem. They got a nice win in Arizona against Minnesota. They're a veteran team. They got a good quarterback. They got a smart coach. They have guys that have been here. They got a young, opportunistic defense. They played the Eagles the first time. Now, I know they're going to be studying that and seeing what they did wrong. They were not good in that game. Their run defense was very poor. Barkley destroyed them. But I think Sean McVay does a pretty good job when he plays a team his second time making adjustments. Not saying they can win this game, but I think they can cover the 6. I'll gladly take it with the Rams. As we said, sharp money coming in on that and on the under in the game. I kind of am leaning to the over in this game. Small play on the over, but I definitely like the Rams. I'm going to go over the 44 here. I think the Rams are going to be able to move the ball a little bit on the Eagles. I think, I don't know. Something about the Eagles just doesn't sit right with me. I think Jalen Hurts will be better this week. I think the Eagles will score a little bit more on offense. So I think there'll be some points in this game, but I like the Rams and the over in that one. And then Baltimore at Buffalo, 6:30 on Sunday. It'll be Baltimore minus 1 now on the road, total 51.5. Everybody thinks this is going to be a score fest. Well, the first time these two teams played, the Bills had a lot of injuries on defense. The Ravens hadn't made their switches of Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton to their proper positions in their defense. So both teams, the Bills' defense still wasn't very good. Baltimore's defense has improved a lot. I'm not going to say it's good, no. But they've been a little bit more opportunistic. They've been a lot better. And they've been good enough that they can be able to win this game. I really think this is a great matchup for the Ravens. I'm not just saying that because I like them, but I think they can win this game. I think they win this game pretty comfortably. I actually was more worried about last week's game than I am this week's. Bills, very, very good. And again, it wouldn't surprise me if the Bills won, but Baltimore, to me, this is a great matchup for them. The Bills are going to have a hard time getting them off the field. And I think both teams can run the ball a lot, so that plays to an over. So I'm on the Ravens, and I'm on the 51.5. We're going under the 51.5 in that one. Baltimore and Buffalo beat each other up in the head to Kansas City. It sets up very good for the KC ticket. If Detroit can escape Washington, I think the Rams and the Eagles is a heavyweight battle. They're going to beat each other up, and I think the winner of that's going to limp into Detroit. So I think things set up very, very well for both the Chiefs and the Lions heading into the divisional round of the playoffs. So should be a good one here. And then our final thing to talk about here on Bettors Last Stand show, number 115 from the Watchdog Network studios here in downtown Wheeling. College football national championship Monday night, 7:30 kick. It'll be Ohio State and Notre Dame doing battle at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Ohio State -8.5 here. Total 46. Excuse me. I still have this cough that I can't get rid of. It's been a lot better, though. Been a lot easier than the last two shows, that's for sure. Ohio State, we talked about it earlier, the strong money that came in, the sharp money that came in on Notre Dame. Was that a fake? Is that trying to draw it down so they can come back in at Ohio State? You're seeing a mixed bag on this, though. I have heard some consortiums and some syndicates out there that are giving each side out. So strong stuff on both. I like the over in this game. I think there will be some points here. I think Notre Dame really got fortunate. I thought the first half of the Penn State game, just recapping that a bit, I thought James Franklin really, really let Notre Dame off the hook. I thought that could have been 21-0. The red zone offense of Penn State continues to be terrible. I thought when the backup quarterback came in for Notre Dame, I think that won them the game. Going down the field and getting 3 points on the board gave Notre Dame a belief going into halftime that they could win this game. And then when he came out in the second half, James Franklin completely changed everything, not to mention playing a soft prevent defense against a passing quarterback at the very last drive of the first half. They should have been coming after that guy and making him have to think quickly because he had all day, and he picked them apart, and he got him down there, and they got 3 on the board, and the momentum was with Notre Dame a little bit. And coming out at halftime, Penn State abandoned the run game. Their defense was, for whatever reason, they were destroying the run game. They were destroying the line of scrimmage in the first half, and they I don't know what happened to them, but it was a complete transformation. So massive, massive meltdown by Penn State. Then they actually come back, take the lead, and then they can't get off the field because their defense started to play too passive. And you had that great pass rusher, so to speak. It didn't do anything when he needed it to. And Leonard made enough plays. And I don't know. I don't know how Notre Dame keeps doing it. I don't even think they should have been in this playoff, but here they are, and they're in the final. So that's what happens when you get a 12-team playoff. You replay this 10 different times, you'll probably get 10 different winners. Probably Ohio State, the most likely winner of multiple times if you were to replay it. I still think they're the most logical winner here, but Texas let them off the hook. The screen pass at the end of the first half, and that was one, I didn't even do this yet, but the bad beat, that was a terrible bad beat. If you had the first half under in that at 20.5 and you get the screen pass, it was to make the game 14-7, it was 7-7. Things, Texas really had controlled a little bit of that game. They'd given Ohio State some problems, but once again, Steve Sarkisian and again, James Franklin, they confirmed what we already knew. They're not very good head coaches. And even though you got a good team, these coaches can really undo all the good you have and the momentum you have. And as bettors, we came out on the wrong side of both of those. So very, very tough, along with the Penn State-Notre Dame game under the 45. You get 31 in the fourth quarter there. That one stung a lot. But thought Sark, really, really, really bad job of saying to your defense with 30 seconds left and a half, don't ever pursue, don't take gambles, everything in front of you. Even if they get a play and they get down to field goal range, we cannot give up a touchdown. We'll have a lot of momentum going into halftime. Oh, guess what? First play, boom, screen pass, set up perfectly. Nobody touches him. Just inexcusable. But, hey, just about as inexcusable as the toss play down there on the one-yard line. Just bizarre. High State has very good side-to-side speed, and you do that. Just bizarre. I don't really know what they're thinking, but what do I know? I just watch the games. But we said all along, Texas Sark was a concern, and Penn State with Franklin, a serious concern. I do think Freeman is probably a better coach than Ryan Day. I think Ohio State's probably the better team. But I'm not impressed with either one of these quarterbacks on the field. I mean, I think both these quarterbacks are crap. I think Notre Dame. I have no idea how Notre Dame's even here. I really don't. Their offense is not very good. Their defense is okay, pretend aggressive. Very fortunate. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sore loser, but I just don't see it. When I watch him week in, week out, team that lost to Northern Illinois in the final, yikes, I don't know. I'm skeptical. I think Ohio State rolls in the game. I think the game goes over, but I don't know. Jesus is on their side, maybe. We'll see what happens. It's going to do it for us here. Better's Last Dance Show number 115 from the Watchdog Studio here on a Friday night. Enjoy the remainder of your weekend. You got high school basketball coming your way tonight, Wheeling Central and Logan. That's 7:30. That one will be on WKKX, WVOY, and WatchdogNetwork.com. And then tomorrow, it's a doubleheader up at the Palace on the Hill, 3 and 5. The girls at 3, the boys at 5, both against Buchanan Upshur. Going to try to have the stream for that. So check out the WatchdogNetwork.com and the Pine Room Studios YouTube page. If you can't find it on the Watchdog Network, Pine Room Studios YouTube page is where you want to be. That's going to do it for us here from the Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy all the football action. And we will see you next week. Again, follow us, BLS_PRP, for all the weekend's plays. And at the Pine Room Studios, pineroomstudios.com. You can find all the latest shows on the Pine Room Studios platform and umbrella. And watchdognetwork.com is where you want to be tuned for all your West Virginia basketball action, girls and boys, and or girls and guys, that is. And then boys and girls high school basketball action from around the area. WatchdogNetwork.com, and follow us on social media with the Watchdog Network and the Pine Room Studios. You can keep abreast of all the games that we have coming your way, weather permitting, of course. Have a wonderful weekend. Best of luck in your wagers. Stay safe, stay warm, and we'll see you next week on Better's Last Stand.